saving money when you start your next project today at Menards. Check out our great selection of garage and utility lighting options. In stock, ready to take home today. We carry everything to help you illuminate whatever project you're working on. Shop garage and utility lighting products in store at your nearest Menards. You can also view all of our entire selection of lighting options today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Hello and welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the Motorator DeAndrea, with Bill Goldberg. Thank you guys so much for listening. CarCast brought to you by our friends at Geico. Save some money on car insurance. Go to geico.com. And Wrangler, real comfortable jeans. Check out wrangler.com. Oh, man, lots of stuff going on.
I those jeans and then take a picture and post it. I want to see you in those.
Heck yeah! Wait a minute, you're usually in your cowboy boots and the whole thing. You're kind of a
My legs are too big for Wrangler jeans, unfortunately.
Oh well, I could put on the skinny jeans.
Yeah, everything's skinny jeans for me, unfortunately.
Right? Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, Wrangler, love them. Let's check them out. I want to get some. All right, so we've got some cool stuff going on. As you guys know, we're right up on the edge of our big CarCast event, 10-year anniversary of CarCast, 10-year anniversary of Adam Carolla's show. We still have some tickets available to the car show. Come out to that. You know, of course, Adam and I will be there. Goldberg's going to be there. Danny Trejo is going to be there. Jeff Dunham is going to be there. I love Jeff. He's such a great guy. If you've heard him on CarCast, you've heard him on Adam Carolla's show. He's a funny guy. When we were, you know, when Bill and I, when we did that, we did a couple episodes of that GQ Car Collector show, which was real fun. I went over to Jeff Dunham's collection as well. He's the ventriloquist and comedian. He's got a great car collection, and he's super nerdy. He builds those dummies by himself, and he 3D prints them and paints them. And he builds and flies his own helicopters, like two-man helicopters. He builds and flies them. And we did a whole episode where we drove around in one of the Tim Burton Batmobiles all through the streets of Van Nuys. And because he bought the car from Warner Brothers and he converted it to like a real driving streetcar with cameras all, you know, so you can see outside the car, we drove around in that thing, filmed everything. And then when we submitted it, Warner Brothers shot us down. They're like, no, you can't use it. So the lost episode of is us driving around in the Batmobile. But we did tour his collection. Anyway, he's got a new Ford GT and he said he'd like to bring that to the car show. I said, that would be awesome. So Jeff Dunham's going to be there as well. Our buddy Chris Jacobs is going to be there. I think he's got a GTX, something like that he's going to be bringing out. Mike Brewer from Wheeler Dealers, he's got a 911 Porsche. He's going to be coming out to that. It's going to be good. We're bringing the Porsche 935. I think we're going to bring the Hino truck. We're trying to find a place to put it. And maybe the BRE 510. I'm going to bring the M3. Go to the peterson.org website, get yourself some tickets. If you've got a car, bring a car. So what we're going to do is we're going to hand out some awards. We're going to hand out some plaques and we're just going to make it kind of fun. Like if you roll up in a Koenigsegg, that's great, but that's not necessarily what wins the award. There's going to be a People's Choice Award. There's going to be a Best of Show. And there's going to be Adam's picks and my picks. And maybe I'll get you, Bill, to come help me pick out something. Something fun. I want wacky and cool and custom. I want you show me what you got. So that'll be a cool event. Now, the other event that we kind of teased last week, and we're starting to get some details on it. Hopefully we'll get some more. But in a couple of weeks, as you're listening to this, I want to say the weekend of the 23rd. Maybe that sounds right. Is that even a weekend? Yeah, maybe the 23rd is... Dodge is doing a big event at Pomona. We're going to go out there, you and I, and hopefully do some drag racing in Hellcats and Challengers or whatever, you know, in Demons. And so you're going to bring a car up there. Hopefully they got
I'm bringing a procession of cars.
You're going to bring more than one.
Yeah, I'm going to be driving my Red Eye, and I'll be followed by a big, gigantic 3500 pulling my Dodge Demon. And I'll have a couple other guys in tow, man. It's going to be wide-body heaven. So it's going to be bitching, man. We got all the top brass for Dodge and FCA coming out. It's such a cool, gigantic Mopar event, Dodge event on the West Coast. All the top brass are heading west for it. So it's going to be one hell of an event. It's their 15th year. I spoke to the organizer yesterday, John Fortuna, I think it is his correct name. And it just sounds like one hell of a great get-together. Car shows, drag races. I mean, how can you beat that on a Saturday? So, the mayor will be well represented.
It seems like I'm excited about it. It's going to be a fun event. I'm trying to get the details in to see if they're going to let us, you know, run a couple of different cars. I spoke to the guy from Dodge, and he said they've got the Challenger 1320, which is the drag race edition car, not the Demon engine, but pretty much all of the Demon mechanicals, basically. And they're saying that they could have some of those. So hopefully we'll be able to drive some of those as well. But we wanted to get, you were talking about getting your car ready. So you mean the Demon or the Red Eye? You want to get a car ready, and we're trying to find some wheels and tires, right?
The Demon. You know, the Demon, this is just the next chapter in Project Jackhammer's very short life. You know, first we outfitted it with HRE wheels, which looked wonderful, and I wanted to make the thing turn, and then lo and behold, the Red Eye comes out, so we basically slammed on the brakes going 180 miles an hour before we hit that wall, and we went a different direction. The fact is as I stated in the beginning, when I was trying to tinker with the Demon, you know, the technology is such that I would be an absolute dumbass to go against it. So why not embrace it?
Yeah.
So, I'm trying to figure out I'd love to drag race that thing on the 23rd at Springfest. Like I said, all the top guys are there. It'd be good to have the mayor represent, you know, so I can't just go down the runway. So I gotta try to pick up every single little edge that I can, i.e. going to Bondurant next Thursday, i.e. getting on the cold calling weld wheels to try to get some shoes, you know, for this Demon that, you know, that are a little lighter. Obviously the Demon comes with the front runners from the factory, but they're probably 20 pounds, and I'm trying to shave off, as Alistair would say, every ounce counts.
Yeah, right? I just got off the phone with Adam before we walked in here and gave him a little recap of what we're going to be chatting about today, and he said two things. He said, tell...
Don't hit the wall.
No, he said, tell Bill, he said, good luck at the event. He thinks going to the Bondurant School ahead of time is cheating. And then he said, by the way, there's some cool like cobras and stuff that are coming up at like at a Mecum auction, and he thought of you, and he'd like to get into it, which I thought was good. So
that was very nice of him, and for him to give me that you know, you do everything you can to get an edge.
Well, that's my what I edge, said. Yeah,
I'm not trying to get an edge on you. I'm just trying to get an edge on every other schmo that's been down that drag strip, been down in their Demons, and I never have. So I just I'm doing a little catch up work.
Yeah. Well, listen, to talk about the specifics, we've got we're going to talk to this. We're going to invite a guy in, Mark Kyle. I'm going to get him in right now. We're going to talk to Mark Carlisle. Mark, are you there?
Yeah, I am. Thanks.
All right. You're on the phone here. We got Bill Goldberg on the phone. We were just talking about this upcoming event, this Dodge event that's coming up on the, I think it's the 23rd, or it's that weekend, 23rd, 24th. I'm not exactly sure, out here in Pomona. And there's going to be some cool drag racing and the cars. You know, Dodge is bringing cars and all kinds of people and all the big dogs over at Dodge, Ralph Gilles and all the bosses, Mark Trosel that we love, and all those guys are going to be there. So Bill's bringing up a couple cars. And, you know, we went to Roadkill Nights and we got to do some drag racing in the Hellcat wide bodies, which was fun to do. But that was sort of a makeshift sort of drag strip that they done, and it had rained over the weekend before and after the event, so not a lot of rubber on the ground. You know, we were trying to do a couple things, feather first gear, maybe start from second gear, and you know, I don't know that one thing was super advantageous over the other. You know, the goal for us was just to point the thing straight, unlike Richard Rawlings, hit the wall.
And, he did it on purpose.
Yeah, right. So I wanted to talk to you. Well, we both wanted to kind of talk to you. So Mark owns Carlisle Racing. He's in Columbus, Ohio, and he has a shop there. He makes parts, works on cars, builds drag racing vehicles. But he's got the world record in IRS drag racing cars, independent rear drag racing cars. He ran a 654 at 228 miles an hour with, I believe it was a Corvette, but it was an IRS car, and that's kind of the point. And now with Ford Mustang having independent rears and the Dodge independent rears, we're at a bit of a disadvantage here. We need a bit of a education on what's the difference here. Like, we're doing a couple things. You guys, Bill and Mark, you guys talked. And Mark, you're setting up Bill with a set of wheels and tires.
Well, let's start it out by saying I again was looking at wheel tire packages over the weekend. I'm trying to get every edge I can get. I'm trying to get a lighter package, and why not reach out to the people who know what the hell they're talking about, as opposed to me who thinks I do. So I called Caps instantly, right?
Got all right, his, so you called wrong
got
Caps.
Got his kind of direction, you know? And then I cold called Weld Wheels yesterday morning, and they were absolutely wonderful to talk to. They jumped on the cause. They thought it was a great kind of partnership, but the only problem was is that they kind of have a six-week turnaround, and we're 3 weeks out. So then comes their number one distributor, Mr. Carlisle, to the plate, and, you know, not only was he nice enough to take my call, nice enough to teach me a little bit about how to better prepare myself for what's upcoming, but, you know, he's actually taking the wheels off of his car and sending them to me so that I can get some welds here before the 6 week, you know, normal time.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to preface Mr. Carlisle speaking by explaining what a wonderful racer and what a wonderful car guy he is, because he literally took him off his car and sent him to me for mine.
Nice.
So yeah, Mark, well, the floor is yours, man. I mean, like I said, I was very lucky to get you on the phone, and then we did some due diligence and we see that you got the world record for the IRS, and man, you know how to go fast. That's for damn sure. So it's an honor and a privilege, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, well, you know, fast to everybody is relative. I mean, you know, fast to me is not nearly fast enough to a guy like, you know, John Force or Garlitz or somebody like that. And I know you've talked to some guys that are probably way faster than me. But, you know, but we get it done on the independent rear suspension just fine. So, and hey, when I got the call yesterday and I heard that you were going to be at the event in Pomona, you know, that's an event that actually I'm a sponsor of that series. I just don't go to the one all the way out in California, but I was excited about hearing, you know, that you guys are going to be out there. But yeah, I mean, hey, it's a no brainer for a racer to help another guy that's going to go out and race, get it done. We do that stuff at the track all the time. I have competitors come up to me from time to time and, you know, they might be going to race me in the next round or something, but I've got the parts that keeps them on the track. And, you know, it's just like anything. If you're a real competitor, you'd rather beat somebody on the track than because they didn't make it. So I was more than happy to help.
Yeah. So, Mark, how long have you been at this game? We talked yesterday, and you opened up your shop some time ago in Columbus.
Yeah, well, I opened up my shop in 2011, but I've actually been racing since 99. You know, I bought my Corvette that's the current world record holder new in 2007 and just evolved it through the years into what it is today. And now we've been doing a lot more in the Dodge world. I've got a Hellcat, a wide body Red Eye, and a Demon that we go out and we play with. And so if you're in that space, then you probably heard our name, and you know that we're the go-to guys for the drag pack setups and the conversion kits to get as much meat as possible on the ground.
Now, tell us a little bit about maybe some of the differences between, let's say, the Challenger Hellcat and the Demon. Like, Bill picked up a Demon, and as he sort of got into that car more and more, we started to realize there's a lot more very specific drag race oriented things for that car that were from the factory that really make it different than a Challenger. It's not just a Challenger with different wheels and tires. Like, it really is different, right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, the probably the biggest factor that you're going to see is the blower itself has got more displacement. It's a larger blower, which allows to make more power. And in addition to that, you know, once you buy or you get the crate from, you know, Dodge, mm-hmm. then you have the ability to put the 840 horsepower tune up in it. And with that computer and that program, you're going to make, I mean, the Hellcat makes 707 flywheel horsepower, and then the Demon can make 840 flywheel horsepower with the crate and that tune and the right fuel in it. So you got that. You've also got a better suspension setup. You've got better drag shocks, and then you got a better spring package on it. Better differential in the back, different wheel and tire package as well. Wheel and tire package, obviously, you know, Dodge is making it a production car, so they have to make the tires be, you know, legal for the you know, all the laws that everybody does on a street car. But that's where we come in to play. If you can get the aftermarket stuff from guys like me, that, you know, will help you get that extra edge.
So we did some drag racing at Roadkill Nights, and we raced wide body Hellcats. I want to get your advice on this. This is something I think Bill is going to be interested in as well. We'll talk about the Demon for a second, but just the wide body Hellcats, all right, mm-hmm. or any of the Hellcats, wide body or otherwise. What settings do you recommend for drag racing? And is it track mode? Is it street mode? Is it traction control on or off? Is it launch from first gear, launch from second gear? Like, what would you recommend on getting that car as fast down the drag strip as possible?
Well, that question has to be answered with a couple of questions. One, and the most important one, is the car completely stock?
All right, let's assume yes, because it's an easy way to just create some parity.
So if it's completely stock and we've just got it out of the factory, so we have some things that we can assume and we know that it's going to come with, you know, the 262 gear ratio. It's going to come with, you know, whatever wheel and tire package it has or whatnot. Chances are, if you launch this thing wide open in first gear in any mode, it's going to probably spin on the factory tires.
We can guarantee that. We can pretty much guarantee that. It's been tested. It's been proven. We could guarantee that, yeah.
So anybody that's going to race one of these things is going to call somebody like me and get a drag pack for it so they have a little bit stickier tire on the back. And then once they do that, let's talk about what you want to do. So I want to assume that we've put a 17-inch drag radial, which doesn't require any modification of the car. It'll just fit on there, and it gives you a little bit more meat. And then with that, we put the car in track mode,
okay,
but with the suspension setting set to street. And then we take the traction control and turn it all the way off. And then I'll launch a car with a 262 gear, which is a stock gear, in that setup, and I'll flash the converter. Now, do you guys know what that means?
Yeah, but go ahead and explain it.
All right, so what that means is I'm going to bring the car just barely off idle. I'm not going to stall it up. And stalling it up is when you're, you know, giving it enough gas and holding the brake so that it starts to push.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to bring it just barely off idle and then flash the converter. Now, there's launch control on these cars, and there's a lot of neat little factors from the factory that's going to help somebody that's not drag racing a lot. But this car with just that drag pack should hook that setup in a normal scenario on any track with just adequate track prep and be able to cut a mid to low 1/4 60 foot.
In first gear or second?
In first gear, yeah. Now, you've got to flash the converter, which a lot of guys don't do that, and you've got to have a sticky tire on the back. And we use a Mickey Thompson 305 drag radial for this scenario, which is is the tire that I have on the wheels that are coming to you, Bill. And that tire is your best bet in this scenario. And it's a radial tire. It's actually still street legal, too.
Well, and so why do you go with the 305 as to you know, the 315, 325s that guys are running on the wide body?
So the 315 is a taller tire. And the purpose of the 315 is to take some gear out. So we don't have that issue with the factory gearing. So a lot of guys were thinking I needed to go to the 309 gear, or I needed to change it. You know, and we tested with our car. Our car goes, just to give you an idea, it runs 920s now. Our Hellcat runs 920s and runs 60 foots in the low 136 range.
Nice.
Mid 13 range, like 135, 136, somewhere right around there. And what we found was the 315 is a good tire if you have the 309 gear in that car, in the Hellcat, but it's faster. The car goes faster on the 262 gear. Now, on a wide body car, the 315 will fit without modification of the car. On a narrow body car, you got to use a big persuader to make it fit.
Okay.
Now, how about the gearing in the Demon?
Yeah, so the Demon we've found, and I don't know how. I mean, I know you've heard about the Legion of Demons that we did in Texas. We had 48 cars out there, and we tried pretty much every combination we could do. The fastest cars were stock gear sets with the 305 gear. I'm sorry, the 305 tire on a 17-inch wheel, and that was the fastest cars by far.
No more questions asked.
Yep. Well, look, I mean, I appreciate it. We've got a little bit of insight on how to on the best settings. Now it comes down to, you know, down to the driver, you know, like how, look, you gotta put in the reps. You gotta try this again and again and again and start chipping away. Like, it doesn't matter if you've been racing this for 20 years, like, you're constantly just trying to get the right track conditions and, you know, and, you know, a little bit of luck and a lot of experience. And I don't have either one of those. So,
well, the reps that you're talking about are absolutely so important. They're vital. And I even told Bill, I said, you need to do some practice laps before you go to do this race. Because, see, every car has its own sweet spot, mm-hmm. and this is where most people mess up, is they don't go out and figure out what their car's sweet spot is. You know, for example, our Hellcat that we have here that runs 920s now on a stock blower car, you know, that car used to like to be flashed off of a dead idle. Well, we changed some things around, put a stall converter, did some other modifications to it, and when we flashed it off of an idle, after that, it would spin. So we had to take laps. It took me about 12 laps to figure out how that car wanted to be launched. And obviously, you start at one spectrum, and then you start working your way towards the other one. Tire pressure makes a difference. How you leave in the car makes a difference. The tune can make a difference. You know, in these cars, we can actually adjust the throttle responsiveness and make it slow down the throttle blade if we need to, so that it'll grab power slower or faster.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, it sounds like the biggest difference, let's say, between when we ran Roadkill Nights and when we run Pomona is going to be
the track.
The track. That's going to be the biggest difference in the world is, you know, we've been having a lot of rain recently, and it would have been nice if this was like the weekend after the Winter Nationals, right? But there's, you know, several weeks in between and a shitload of rain. But But it's going to be an active weekend. That's a good track. It's good prep. It's going to be interesting to see if how much of that makes a difference. And I think it absolutely will.
Well, sure. The better the track, the more aggressive you can get off the line, for sure. And an independent rear suspension car acts differently than a live axle car. You know, when you plant the tire and you transfer the weight to the back of the car, if it unloads the tire, if after you get out there it unloads, it'll spin. And you know, a lot of guys find with a real big drag car is they're spinning on the line, right? With a solid axle car, it either spins on the line or it hooks and goes. With these cars, it might actually hook on the line and then spin 10 feet out because the suspension unloaded. So you got to make sure that whatever settings you do and whatever driving style you choose, you don't unload that suspension to get the weight off the back of the car so that the tire gets unloaded and then spins and you lose the race.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And Bill, you were going to say something?
Mark, I saw this thing online about unlocking the Red Eye computer. Is there anything to that? The PCM? Do you know anything about that?
Well, I mean, so far on my Red Eye, I mean, I'm programming it. I've unlocked my computer, and it allows me to program it however I want. My car will be making just north of 1,000 rear-wheel horsepower in the next, I don't know, 3 or 4 days here. It's going back up on the dyno and getting some more modifications done. We were doing a step mode before that. But I think what you're talking about is the daemon features in the Red Eye computer. Can you get them in there? And yeah, it can be done. But basically, you're just flashing the daemon computer information into a Red Eye computer.
Oh, I see.
But a guy like me,
yeah.
Well, go ahead.
I see what you're talking about. You're taking the tune out of the daemon and putting it in the Red Eye.
Yeah, you can make that. You can unlock that computer, feed in that information, put in the button for the high octane mode, and you can have all the same features that a Red Eye has. But you know, that's only 840 horsepower. To me, that's like, I don't know.
Well,
I mean,
come on, man. For
not
me,
enough.
That's 40 more than 80. Than 8, 40 yeah. more than, you know, 32 more than 808.
Right. It's funny. It's 840 horsepower. And before we wrap up the show a little later, I'm going to tell you about a 201 horsepower Acura that I'm driving. But before we get to that, I got a couple more questions for you. But first, let me tell you guys, we'll do a little housekeeping here. I'll tell you about Geico. Geico, everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off dry cleaning, you pick up some milk, and now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list, and you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. If you just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Check out geico.com. All right, we're going to need some of that on the way to the track. Some of that
yeah,
Geico.
No doubt.
You're going to bring a whole fleet of cars up there. And I got to tell you, I just talked to my guys at Dodge, and I know this is kind of a Dodge event, but I hit them up and I said, hey, speaking of drag racing, can you send me a Jeep Trackhawk to test? And they said, sure. So now I'm waiting to find out what the schedule is on that, but I'm kind of interested in, just for the sake of why not, is the Trackhawk and the Durango, the SRT 8 Durango, the SRT Durango with all-wheel drive. And I'm curious, I don't know, Mark, if you race any of those, any of the vehicles, any of the SUVs with the all-wheel drive.
We actually have one of the Durango SRTs.
Yeah.
It's white with black stripes, just like our white Hellcat with black stripes. And it's completely stock, and the thing's been in the 12s already. It's actually pretty fast for a three-row family, you know, sport utility. It's an amazing vehicle. I mean, I can't tell you that how big of a home run Dodge has hit with the line of cars that they have out right now. But Trackhawks, I mean, the SRT8's cool, but the Trackhawks are just a level above. So the Trackhawk, I don't know if you know or not, but it has the same powertrain as the Hellcat does.
Yeah.
So I've got one here right now that was actually shipped to me from Mexico from one of my customers that we are doing a complete build on, and the power goal on this thing is 1,200 rear-wheel horsepower.
Now, Does it break? And do you, a couple questions. At what point is it going to break? Right? Like, and that's the same question for both the Durango and the Trackhawk. Like, when does it break? And two, do you ever go nuts and run like four slicks? Is it just going to explode?
We on this vehicle, we typically do four drag radials.
You do?
Yeah. But, I mean, and it looks crazy. I mean, when you see a vehicle with four B-lock wheels and four drag radials from Mickey Thompson on there, just, you know, and the thing is a monster. I mean, you can't do a burnout with all four of them. You just can't do it. But
is it staggered?
On our website of a couple of them launching out here by our shop and some of them on the dyno as well.
Now, when you run the four drag radials, do you run the same size or do you run them a little bit staggered?
They're just a little bit staggered. The wheels are anyway. Now, the Trackhawk, unfortunately, doesn't have a small enough brake for me to put 17s all the way around. So I've got to run a 20 up front and a 17 in the back. But, you've still got the majority of your power towards the back wheels anyway. So
what you're doing is you're just trying to get as much of that all-wheel drive traction off the line. And then as that thing is getting up to speed and getting a little wind underneath it and shifting the weight, it's kind of putting itself more to rear wheel drive mode, right? Like there's only so much pull the front wheels are going to do. It's all about that hit off the line. Is that right?
Yeah, there's still a split towards the back, but I'm going to tell you, I mean, the truck is just amazing. I mean, when you have an all-wheel drive vehicle with that kind of power and you pull up beside some guy in his muscle car and you put a couple bus links on him at the stoplight and they pull back up to you and they're like, what the heck's done to that thing? You know, and you're like, yeah, it's stock. I mean, it's pretty satisfying.
It's got to be interesting because, you know, at the ride height and you're in an SUV and it's big and it's heavy. But I don't know. I think the Trackhawk, like off the showroom floor, is like 0 to 60 in like 3.5 seconds. So it's pretty crazy. I think we might have lost. I think we might have lost Mark, but that's okay. Anyway,
good info, man. Good info.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to get a date on that Trackhawk to see if I think we're good with Mark. We got a lot of good information from him, and I'll just throw out it's Mark Carlisle. It's Carlisle Racing. It's CARLYLE. Carlisle Racing is the .com is the website. He's on Facebook. Look up Carlisle Racing. He's on Instagram, Carlisle Racing. So check him out there and give him a call. Great to have him to help out. He sent us photos of the wheel tire package that he's mailing you, and it's a great sort of weld racing thing going on. And and like you said, it's got the 305 Mickey Thompsons on there, which I assume they're broken in already for you, buddy, because he took them right off of his car.
You got to like that.
So that's going to be fantastic. So, and like you said, you're going to head over to Bonner and School and do some driving there as well. You're taking the drag racing program that they offer. Is it Demons? Is it Red Eyes? Did they break it down to you?
Oh, it's all Demon. It's the Demon. You know, they have different experiences out there. This is the Demon experience. It's a one-day class, 8 in the morning to like 3:30 in the afternoon. And hopefully I make as many passes as humanly possible. I'm sure there's some classroom time, but I think there's a little room left in this tiny brain to put some more info in there. I'm going to need it. But, you know, it's all about just having fun, man, and getting more prepared. Just trying to get faster, man. You know, fast is fun.
Yeah. It should be fun. It should be a good event. I'm curious to see, I wish I could make it out there. We've just got too many things going on over here. But I want to get all about it when you get out there. The other thing, I was driving this Acura. I wanted to tell you guys a little bit about that because so many of you asked me about it. Before we get into that, I'm going to tell you about Wrangler. Everyone has a favorite pair of jeans that fit perfect and always look great. No one knows this better than Wrangler. Wrangler jeans made for the modern day adventurers. Whether you ride a bike, a bronc, or a skateboard, these are the jeans for you. They have classic or modern styles, a range of fits, and a price that works for you as well. And they have vintage re-releases. I kind of like the vintage stuff. I'm wearing my acid-washed black jeans right now. Love them. Visit Wrangler.com and check out their great selection of jeans, shirts, pants, and outerwear for men and women. They have new styles, great fits, Wrangler, real comfortable jeans. Check them out, Wrangler.com. So I picked up this Acura ILX, and I just like what Acura was doing. I drove the RDX A-Spec, and I thought it was kind of neat. And later in the month, we're going to drive the new NSX. We had the NSX once before, but there's a couple little revisions for 2019, some aero, things like that. You guys heard about a couple weeks ago. We have Dave Merrick on the show with Adam Carolla. He was telling us a little bit about that car as well. And I know we always get to test like the funky cool stuff, and that's always the fun stuff. You know, get a Trackhawk in here, get an Aston Martin in here. But I was looking at the ILX. It's new for 2019, and this is about the size of a 3 Series BMW, right? And I put it out there and social media, and a bunch of you guys were asking, you know, what do you think of the car? You know, because it's a very attainable car. And I got to say that I like it. I think it looks good. I like what they're going on with the design. The one they sent me is the A-Spec. It's white with all the black trim, the black wheels, and the little wing on the back. And it looks kind of and it looks good. It's nice. It's a 2.4 liter inline four. It's got an 8-speed transmission with dual clutch capability, paddle shift basically is what I'm saying here. It's 201 horsepower, 2.4 liter. And the A-Spec is kind of nice with the red seats, the black inserts. It's a nice car. I say plenty of room in the front, a great driving car, pretty good gas mileage. I think on the freeway, I went down to do the Shift and Steer podcast. I was on traffic for a while sitting in the freeway. I was getting like 33 miles per gallon, I want to say, on the freeway, which was fantastic. The specs on this thing are probably 0 to 60 in, I want to say, 6.5-second range. Quarter mile is 15.2. And it's kind of weird how I think when I got my Mustang Cobra in 93, it ran like 15s. So here we are now. Your entry-level Acura can run 15s. Not a ton of back seat room, but it's a small sedan, so I don't know how much room you're expecting to get back there. I mean, I'm sure I fit fine. I'm sure Goldberg doesn't. You know, it's a nice car. And here's the big thing for this car is it's a lot of bang for the buck in this segment. Acura has dropped the price by about $2,200 for the 2019 year. The A-Spec package adds about $2,000 to it, but when you really start comparing this to the Audis and Mercedes and BMWs of the world, this is more bang for the buck. I didn't really cross shop it with, let's say, Lexus or Infiniti or Lincoln or Cadillac, but definitely add it to the list as far as cars to look at. If you're looking at a sub $30,000 car, I mean, this starts at under $30,000. And by the way, the A-Spec that I'm driving, which is pretty much fully loaded, NAV, Apple CarPlay, the A-Spec, you know, with the black wheels and the red seats, I think it came in like about $32,000. And I feel like it's a lot of car for the money. Now, here's the one thing you're going to want to look at is we do this all the time. Somebody will say, hey, I got this Porsche. And they'll say, Cayenne. And be like, that's a really nice Volkswagen. Or they say, hey, I got the Lexus. And like, that's a fancied up Toyota. Sure. We got to share platforms and try to save on costs and things like that. And sometimes there's enough difference between the standard model and the luxury model that it really makes all the difference in the world. And sometimes there are subtle differences, and then you really have to start to question, is it worth getting? And in this particular case, the Honda Accord Sport is like a $26,500 car. and it's already a good car. So when you step up to the Acura, it's very similar. So you might be paying a little extra money for the Acura to get the brand, to get that style, that look, which you might like more than the Honda. But you, I would say no problem in cross-shopping both the Honda and the Acura to see just aesthetically like what you like. There may be a few interior things that you might like a little bit better, but I would say that they're close enough that you can compare them both. Surprisingly, I want to say Toyota and Lexus literally has a different standard, a little bit wider spread. I don't want to say better car between Toyota and Lexus versus Honda and Acura, but I'm saying a wider spread. And the Lexus cars have to meet more requirements to become a Lexus. Otherwise, it's just a Toyota. And I think the line between those two cars and the line between Honda and Acura is a little bit finer. So the Honda and Acura is a little bit closer to each other than the Toyota Lexus. I'm not saying one's better than the other. I'm just saying that's how those two car companies do it. There's a little bit more difference between Toyota and Lexus. That's certainly what I've seen. But definitely take a look at it. It's a pretty cool car. I think it looks good. I've been driving it around, and it's been fun. And for that price range, it's been fantastic. All right, so that's that's pretty much what we've got going on. Now we're gonna hopefully see you guys out Sunday. We're gonna see you at the Peterson Museum. Like we said, tickets are still available for the car show. We got some awards we're gonna be handing out. We're all gonna be there. And hopefully the weather is going to be fantastic. And if you want, stick around, get tickets to the screening for Uppity, the Willie T. Ribs story. Unfortunately, the podcast, Adam Carolla Show, is sold out. But like we said, we've got Jay Leno and Mike Brewer and Chris Jacobs. And I think Billy Gibbons is coming out. I think Billy Gibbons is coming out with, I don't know if he's our buddy Brad Fanshawe from Shift and Steer that I do. He's coming out. I don't know if he's bringing Billy with him or Billy's bringing a lowrider, but I believe he's coming out as well. So we'll say hi to him. What's next, Bill? Anything else you got?
I'm trying to buy an SRT10 truck on eBay right now.
After that discussion of the Durangos, what we'll do is I'll tell you what, before you spend your money on that, because I see you just did your Mayor of Muscleville commercial. The first version of that is out. It's up on YouTube, and if you follow Goldberg's Instagram, you'll see we've put it out there, and CarCast as well. The first version of that. Hopefully you got more commercials coming your way. And then who knows? You know, maybe do more Dodge commercials, buy more Dodge cars. Let me talk to the guys at Dodge, and then I'm going to drive one of those. You should drive one of those, and let's see what you think about it. Maybe I'll go grab a Trackhawk. You grab the Durango, and you tell me if you like it. You tell me if you can fit in it.
We can switch those if you want. You drive the Durango, and I'll get the Trackhawk because I know I can fit in it.
Oh, really? Because the Durango's bigger.
What?
The Durango's bigger than the Jeep Cherokee, the Grand Cherokee.
Oh yeah, you know, I'll just lose some weight.
All right, we'll do that. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up here. We're going to see you guys this weekend. Thank you so much. Of course, check us out at carcastshow.com. We've got all kinds of stuff up there. You can follow Goldberg and Goldberg Garage on Twitter, and Goldberg95 and Goldberg's Garage with an S, Goldberg's Garage on Instagram. You can follow me at Motorator on all social media, car show at the Peterson March 10th. And of course, our Shift and Steer podcast is available on iTunes and Podcast One. Check that out. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. Looking forward to seeing you guys on the weekend. Until next time, keep the air and spare in the bag and the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.